Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Why We Win Souls Part 2, we will be going down through verse 21, starting in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So we will look at that tonight and talk about that ministry of reconciliation, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. I do pray that you forgive me for my sins. I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. I do pray that you bless the preaching of your word this evening and help us all to get what we need out of thy word. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Of course, this morning we saw that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, all things are become new, and all things are of God, as we come down into verse 18. And so when the Bible says, "Who hath reconciled us to himself," the word "reconciled" means to change or to exchange. God changes us from enemies to friends by the death of Jesus Christ. And that is reconciliation. And the Bible says, very interesting here, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." So he has changed us from enemies to friends by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have the responsibility to reconcile people as well. And how do we do that? Well, the Bible tells us in the next verse, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So how do we carry out the ministry of reconciliation? We do that by giving out the word of reconciliation. We take the word of God and we preach the gospel, and we tell people that they can be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's how we carry out the ministry of reconciliation that God has given to us. Now the Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And that's part of reconciliation, is that God does not impute our trespasses unto us. Now, when the Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, then this can mean two things. It could either, the world could be speaking of the world that is to be saved. It could be speaking of a limited group. Or more than likely, it is speaking of the whole world. In fact, Ryrie says this, and I will I'll read this note here on verse 19. To wit, Paul here restates verse 18, reconciling the world unto himself. The death of Christ changed the meaning of reconcile. Remember, we said reconcile means to change or to exchange. So he changed the position of all people, not only the elect, from being enemies, Romans 5:10, to being savable, though actual salvation does not come until one believes, verse 20. Now that's kind of an interesting concept, because usually when we think of reconciliation, we think of telling people, be reconciled, be saved. And we think of that as pertaining to the saved. And I heard this several years ago. It may have been all the way back when I was in Bible college, but what Ryrie is actually saying here and teaching is that when the Bible says he hath reconciled the world unto himself, that God has changed the whole world from being enemies to being savable. It does not mean that everyone is saved. People must trust Christ as their Savior to be saved. Not everyone will be saved, and we understand that. But he's saying that everyone could be saved if they would respond to Christ. And I certainly believe that Christ died for everyone and that God wants everyone to be saved. But indeed, we know that not everyone will be saved. The point is that we have a responsibility to preach the gospel to everyone, and not just to a select few, but to everyone in the world, telling those people, you can be saved if you will. If you will trust Christ, you can be saved. And so, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, verse 20 goes along with that. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Because we have the word of reconciliation. By the way, a word of reconciliation is no good unless you take it to people. What good does it do to have it if we keep it to ourselves? Right? A lot of people treat salvation like they've gotten some super secret gift. You know, they got it and they hold it to themselves, keep it to themselves. And they don't want to share their faith because we might offend someone. But the truth is that the word of reconciliation does no good. If you're going to tell somebody, hey, Jesus wants to save you. Jesus died for you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to save you. That word does no good if we keep it to ourselves. We must share it. And so the Bible says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And so we are ambassadors for Christ. We have the responsibility to take the message of Jesus Christ to our community and to the world. And we represent Christ. And Paul is saying here, as though God did beseech you by us, as if God were here, begging you, urging you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. We pray you, we ask you, we beg you as if Christ were here, as if we're doing it in His place. Be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now this is the message of the gospel. This is it. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ knew no sin, but He became sin for us. God made Him. He didn't just, understand this, Christ didn't just take a few sins on Himself when He died on the cross. He hath made Him to be sin for us. Christ was sin for us. He bore the sins of the world. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When God saves us, He imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us so that we are literally made the righteousness of God in Him. And we've talked about this before. Remember, before you get saved, you're not in Christ. You're outside of Christ. You're lost. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. In the Bible, the word death does not indicate annihilation, but rather separation. We were dead, we were separated from God in our sins and trespasses. We could not come to God because we had no desire to come to God until God came to us. I think that's very important because sometimes we will say, I've heard preachers before say to somebody or to an audience, they will say, you can't come to God whenever you want to come to God. You have to wait until he's ready for you to come. Well, the truth is, if a person wants to come to God, it's because God's drawing them. There's no such thing as I wanted to come to God, but God wasn't ready for me. If you want to come to God, it's because God is drawing you. Because the truth is that if God wasn't drawing you, you'd have no interest in God. No desire to come to God. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. But then God draws us and we can come to Him. Now, when we get saved, we move out of this place of death and we move into Christ. We're in Christ, in the body of Christ. And God does that through a miracle called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whereby the Holy Spirit takes you and places you into the body of Christ, and you are baptized into His body, not with water, but with the Spirit. And the Bible talks about that as well. And so the Bible says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You'll never be made the righteousness of God outside of Him, but in Him, God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. He places Christ's righteousness on you, and when He looks at you, He no longer sees your sins, but He sees Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when God does, He pronounces you not guilty. That's what we call justification in the Bible. And by the way, there's a difference between justification and forgiveness. Forgiveness is like this. If I owed $100,000 to the bank and I had no way to pay, and the bank forgives my debt, then that would be forgiveness, but it wouldn't be justification. But now let's suppose that I had a rich uncle. Everyone should have a rich uncle, but let's suppose that I had a rich uncle. And my rich uncle went to the bank with me and he paid my debt off of $100,000, but he also put $100,000 into my account. So now I walk away with my debt paid and $100,000 richer. Now you see, that is justification. God has not only forgiven us, but the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us or placed on our account, and then God declares us to be righteous and not guilty. Somebody has said that justification is just as if I'd never sinned. Well, it's that, but it's more than that. A justification is just as if I'd never been a sinner, just as if I'd always had the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because that's how God looks at us when we get saved. And so, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And so we win souls because we have this message, because we believe this, and we've experienced it, and we are now ambassadors for Christ, and God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, which we carry out by sharing the word of reconciliation with the world. And so we have a message: be you reconciled to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I hope that God has placed someone on your heart that needs to hear this gospel, and that you'll share the gospel this week. You know, we have gospel tracts still on the front row. Now, they're Christmas tracts, but they teach the gospel. We've got one called The Present here. We've got another one that tells the Christmas story. But they still teach the gospel. We also have some children's tracts on the front pew. Get some tracts. They have the church name stamped on the back, and share the gospel with someone this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You for the work You're doing in this house. I do pray now that we would just take this message of redemption, that we would take this message of reconciliation and share this message with the world. And tell people, God has reconciled us. Be you reconciled to God. Share the message with those who are lost. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would put someone on our hearts right now and that you would help us to take this message this week through a testimony, through a track, through an invitation, but you would help us to take it this week and to share your gospel. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.